Title of the message is Communicating with God. Wouldn't you like to have the privilege of speaking to the Creator, God, the Creator of the whole world, the Creator of humanity? It'd be even more great than talking to a king or talking to a president, but talking to the God of the universe. Of course, we know we can. We can talk to God. We can communicate with Him. And wouldn't you like God to speak to you? The great Creator who has created billions of people to take a little notice of you and to speak to you? Well, remember, God isn't far away, right? He lives in you. He lives in you. He's not far. He lives in you. And so He can communicate with you through His Holy Spirit, through His Word. And, of course, we communicate with Him through prayer. But in order to communicate with anybody, you break the ice and you start simple, you know, and then you build a relationship. And that's what we have to do as God's people. In the beginning, as a new Christian, you know, we come to God. We might not know what to say, what to pray. But as time goes on, we grow spiritually. We have to develop that relationship. You develop that relationship with someone. And that's what God wants from us. He wants to have a relationship. But in order to have a relationship, we have to spend time with a person, right? If you want to have a relationship, you have to have some communication. You have to make the time to communicate. And so that is what we need to do. So we need to, if we're going to communicate with God and we want to develop that relationship, we have to set out time for prayer each day. We have to make time for prayer. So when should we be praying to God during the day? And how often? Well, that depends on you and your relationship with God. But there's some examples from the Bible that we could take a look at. If you go to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3 to see, you know, how often we should pray. 2 Timothy, and these are just examples. 1 verse 3. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day. So Paul's telling Timothy that he remembers Timothy in his prayers night and day. So we see perhaps Paul saying that he prays twice a day. And in those prayers, he remembers Timothy. Or he could be saying, I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day. It means all the time. But we could see perhaps an example of twice a day. If we go to Daniel 6 in verse 10, Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, the leaders who hated Daniel, they wanted to trap him and get him thrown to the lion's den. And so they got Darius to build a statue of himself. And basically for a whole month, you were not to pray to anybody but the statue. But of course, Daniel was not going to do that, and they knew that. So now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, in other words, the writing that if you pray to anybody besides except the statue, you'll be thrown into the lion's den. He went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. So he opened his windows like he always did, and he looked towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So here we see Daniel's example of three times a day. So we have to. I think a good pattern of prayer is to at least twice a day. In the morning and in the evening, but definitely in the morning, because you don't want to leave the house in the morning without prayer. Because when you open that door and you step outside, you're in Satan's world. Even in your house or apartment, you're in Satan's world, because he'll still get at you. Just turn the TV on, go on your computer, check your spam, and you know, he'll get at you. You know, listening to politics all day and getting angry, whatever. So when you go out that door, though, you don't know what's good you're going to encounter. At least you're in your house, you're by yourself, okay? But you go outside, and you need God's prayer. You need God's blessings. You need his protection. You got to ask him for it. You got to put on the armor of God, as it says in Ephesians 6. If you don't put on that armor, that protection, that shield of faith, that helmet of salvation, you just go out there and haphazardly, Satan is going to come after you. And so don't leave home in the morning without prayer. You know, I guess they don't leave home without your American Express. So, you know, that exists. So now, so a prayer should be at least twice a day, we would think. And but what about the length of the prayer? Is it important? Is somebody who prays a half hour, somebody who prays an hour more precious, more righteous than someone who prays a half hour? Is someone that prays 20 minutes more righteous than someone that prays for 10 minutes? And, you know, the Bible tells us no, but, you know, our attitude is important. God wants quality. He wants to have a relationship with you. But he doesn't want these long prayers that are where you're repeating something over and over again, like pagans do. Like with the rosary beads, or I believe they do that, right? They say a certain prayer. So what is appropriate for length of prayer? Well, that really depends on you and God. And if we go to Matthew 6, or verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not, this is Jesus speaking, not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that you may see men. Truly I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret. And your Father which is in secret shall reward you openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. And then after this manner, therefore, pray ye. So he's going to give the outline of the Lord's Prayer. And it's an outline. This is, you know, we're not to say this over and over and over and over again. It's an outline. And therefore, our Father who art in heaven, great God is in heaven, hallowed be your name, and your kingdom come. Don't we all, we should pray that all the time, that his kingdom will come soon. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want his kingdom to come, so God's will is done here. Give us this day our daily bread. Yes, so we pray that God will provide for our needs. Our daily needs, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And in Luke it says, "Forgive us our sins." So that's what it's talking about. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Now God doesn't lead anybody into temptation. That word temptation is 39:89. God doesn't lead us into sin. But the word means uncertainty. So we don't want God, we want to be following God. We don't want to be tempted and then be in an uncertain position, and we don't know what to do, and we or we're tempted and we're pulled into sin. So we want God to keep us strong and to not allow us to fall into this uncertainty, but to be close to Him and follow Him. So this is a model prayer, and an outline of things that we should include in our prayers. If you go to Luke 18, and verse 9, Luke 18 and verse 9, getting back to the point I was making before about how long should a prayer be? Are you more righteous if you're able to be praying for a longer time? If we go to Luke 18 and verse 9, yeah. Okay, and he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So God wants a contrite spirit. When you go to God, you want to go to God with a contrite spirit, a repentant spirit. You don't want to go to God in a prideful spirit where you're going to be praising yourself before God. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican or tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed there thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not as other men, so he's exalting himself, are extortioners. Other men are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. So he's basically looking down on the tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I go to Sabbath services every week. I don't eat pork. I keep all the holy days. And the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But apparently, it was not just words. He was really sincere, and his spirit was sincere. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down into his house justified, talking about the publican, rather than the other, or the Pharisee. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. So when we go to God, we should be humbling ourselves. Now, of course, if you're going to have a relationship with God, this is talking about attitude. So in other words, you want to go in prayer and say more than, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. You want to, but you go into God in a contrite spirit is the point here. So in other words, you're going from the right attitude to God. But as far as the length of the prayer is, you'll find that when you're new spiritually, your prayers will probably be short. But as you grow spiritually, they're going to be longer. But you know, when I say longer, you know, it could be 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You know, that's between you and God. You know, what do you have to tell God? Who do you have to pray for? And we're going to see now about what things should we include in our prayers. And you're going to see when you include these things in your prayers are going to be longer. But again, this is not something that you should measure. It's something between you and God and someone that, you know, prays for an hour is not more righteous than someone who prays for 5 or 10 minutes. So we want to customize the Lord's Prayer. Now, there's an interesting scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. 17, yes, okay. Yes, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So certainly we ought to give thanks to God every time we pray. But how can we pray without ceasing? Pray without ceasing. Well, what that means is that you have to keep God in your mind all day long. And when, you know, when you're growing spiritually, when you become spiritually mature, all day your thoughts and mind should be focused on God, you know. You go to work, you're sitting on a train, you know, you're thinking about God. You're doing your work at work, you're thinking about God. You come to some problem, God, help me with this. What does this mean? You know, help me to find this. You know, you're just communicating with your Father, you know, and in your mind, and all day long, really. I mean, you know, there might be some periods where, you know, your mind is not engaged, and you come back to God during the day, and so there should be that channel of communication all day long. You could turn it on or off, and usually just keep it. You just keep it going, you know. Just keep it on available, and you know, because you know the world walks around without God in their life, and they stumble and fall, and they follow the world and they sin. But we have to be able to be speaking to God at any time, and His line is always open. You know, He never hangs up on you. He always picks up the phone, if you will. He'll always be there to communicate with you. So we have to pray without ceasing. Now, Luke 18, you know, when we pray, suppose we're not getting any results. You know, we don't feel like God is answering us. Let's go to Luke 18. Luke 18. Sorry, I was laughing before. Nobody else was laughing, but I thought it was funny, and I couldn't stop myself. I apologize, but everybody else says, okay. Feels kind of awkward, but I'm sorry. Okay. Luke 18, 1 to 8. Luke 18, 1 to 8. Luke 18, 1 to 8. Okay. And Jesus spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was a city, in the city was a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. So in other words, the judge is going to grant her request because he's tired of her coming and annoying him. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Which indicates, you know, he's not necessarily going to come on your or help or answer your prayer in your timeline, in your expectations. But he hears you, and he says sometimes he will bear long with you, but I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? So God says he will intervene, and he will avenge against your adversary speedily. But speedily, what does that mean? Well, it means that we have to be patient. We have to be patient. We have to be patient when we pray, and we have to be persistent. Persistent. And when I was in Spokesman's Club many decades ago, there was a sermonette. Sometimes you remember a sermonette or a sermon. And the acronym used was PUSH, P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens, right. And I've mentioned this before. Pray until something happens. So, somebody, you know, you have a problem, you keep praying about it, keep praying about it. Somebody's sick, you keep praying about it, you keep praying about it until something happens. You know, I've been praying for some people that have been sick or have these infirmities or disabilities for over 10 years. And I continue to pray for them every night. And then either they get better, and sometimes they die. You know, sometimes it's God's will. That's God's will. So, but be persistent in prayer. Don't give up, particularly in situations where you want God to intervene, you want to be persistent. You know, you don't see it happening. Talk to God about it. You know, God, I've been waiting a while now. Are you going to help me with this? You know, keep going. Keep praying, because God loves us. And I've come to focus on that, try to focus on that more, that God loves me, God loves you, but personally, God loves me, and I want the joy of the Spirit, because if I focus on God's love for me, I should be able to have more of the joy of the Spirit. And so I try to think about that more, that God loves me no matter what I'm going through, and think about that and have more of the joy of God's Spirit. But we have to pray till something happens. And in Romans 8, 26, 27, sometimes, you know, we don't know what to pray for. Romans 8 and verse 6. And this is very interesting. Romans 8 and verse 6, 26. 8 verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities or weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So basically, the Holy Spirit in us, Jesus Christ in us, you know, will be praying to the Father for us in areas where we either are not aware or we don't articulate. And so the Spirit, Jesus Christ in us, is praying to the Father for us. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So even when we don't know what to pray for, we have the Spirit to back us up and to speak to God, the Father, about our needs. And some examples of heartfelt prayers. If you go to John 17 for a minute, John 17, really heartfelt prayers. John 17, verse 1. And some say this is the real Lord's Prayer, because this is Jesus pouring out his heart to the Father before he was going to be crucified. John 17, where these words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished a work which you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world began. I have manifested your name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever you have given me are of you. For I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from you, and they have believed that you did send me. I pray for them. So here's Jesus' example. He's praying for his disciples. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, for all are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. And so he continues to pray to God. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known you, but I have known you, and these have I known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them your name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Christ in them, right? I in them. So this was the heartfelt prayer of Jesus to the Father, praying for his disciples, which include you and me. If you just go over to 1 Kings 8 and verse 22 for a minute, 1 Kings 8, looking at some heartfelt prayers. 1 Kings 8 and verse 22. And this is Solomon's prayer after the temple was built. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. So the whole congregation is there, and Solomon is going to pray to God. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you. So in our prayers, we should be praising God. We should start off with praising God. There's no God like you in heaven above or on the earth beneath, which keeps covenant and mercy with the servants that walk before you with all their heart, who has kept with your servant David, my father, that you promised him. You've kept your promise. You speak also with your mouth and have fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day. Talking about the temple. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on this on the throne of Israel, so that your children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as you have walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which you speak unto your servant David. So he said, he's saying to God, you know, you've made a lot of promises to David. You've allowed me to build the temple, but he prepared for it and so forth. And you made promises to David and my father. 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built? Yet have you respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication. Supplication is like a petition to God. It's like something very specific. To hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which you have prayed before the, which we have prayed before thee today, that your eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which you have said, my name shall be there, that you may hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place and hear you, and hear you from heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. So he's saying, you know, please hear our prayers, Father, when we pray to this temple that we've built for you, and please hear our prayers. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before you, your altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. So this prayer was that God would hear the prayers of the people from the new temple. Sincere. And one more, Psalm 51, which is the prayer of David after he was informed that he had sinned by taking Bathsheba and having Uriah killed. And we know the baby dies, here is the repentance of repentance psalm, Psalm 51. And he says, he starts off, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your rights, your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And isn't it wonderful that Jesus Christ has blotted out our transgressions, that our sins of the past have been forgiven, and that we are justified with God. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part, which shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. And that's what the Holy Spirit helps to do. Create in me a clean spot, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. When we're going astray, when we sin, we want God to renew a right spirit. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So David knew he had the Holy Spirit, and he's praying to God because he came to repent. He realized, oh, hey, what I did is really terrible. And he's asking God, don't take the Holy Spirit. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your free spirit. And then he goes on and says, then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. So he's saying he's going to be a spokesman for God. He's going to promote God's way of life. He's going to be back on track. So when we're in need, we need to go to God when we're in need, and if you go to 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, when we have a need, we need to go to God and not try to take care of it ourselves. Not saying that you don't do anything, but that you go to God first and ask for wisdom. But again, sometimes God seems like he's not answering, and it's taking too long. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are upon their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So if you have God's Holy Spirit in you, you are righteous. And so you, because of God living in you, and so you, God hears your prayers. Hears your prayers. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? So if you're doing God's will, God's going to have your back. 1 John 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. Wow. If we ask anything according to God's will. So maybe sometimes the things we're praying about, you know, it's not according to God's will. God knows it's not going to be good for you. So he's not going to answer right away, or maybe he's looking for the right time when it will benefit you, or maybe it's something that, you know, he thinks is not going to be good for you. And so when we ask God for things, we have to take into account his will. And if we know that he hears us, we know that he hears us, though. That one thing, you know, you definitely got to know that when you're praying to God, he hears you. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And Luke 22 and verse 42. You know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked the Father three times if he could take away this cup. In other words, you know, his human spirit, his flesh would say, I don't want to go through this. You know, is there another way we could do this? Is there another way we could give salvation, offer salvation? And he says in verse 42, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And so that is the key. Not my will, not your will, but God's will be done. And God's will was for Christ to go through this. And it says that Jesus suffered for us for the joy that was to come afterwards. So he did what God commanded him to do, and after that, and there was some suffering, but after that there was great joy, because when he was resurrected, he's our high priest, and mankind has been offered salvation, and the power of the devil has been destroyed over sin and death. If you go to James 4, sometimes when we're asking something, you know, as I said, as I alluded before, we're not asking something that God accepts. If you go to James 4 and verse 3, James 4 and verse 3, James says, you ask, you know, you're asking God, but you don't receive because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Oh God, yes, please, I really want that new car, and yes, the one I described to you the other day, and, you know, or I want this, I want that, and, you know, so we're asking, so that we may consume it upon our lusts. And so when we're asking God in the wrong faith, in terms of something that is based on we want because of our lusts, you know, God's not going to provide that. James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God and give that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. So when we're asking for anything, we have to ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So I guess what they're saying here is when you're praying, believe in faith that God can provide what you are asking for. And that, you know, don't go with an attitude, well, I don't know if you could do this, God, or I'm asking this, God, but if it's too hard, you know, or I don't think you can do it, but I'm going to ask you anyway. You know, we have to really be praying in faith, not as it says in verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, in all his ways. We can't be double-minded. And Mark 11 and verse 24, and we're winding down. Mark 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, excuse me, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So this is very interesting, you know, whatever things you desire, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Well, you have to put that scripture into context, though. But again, it's according to God's will, because Some denominations have made a whole gospel out of this, is that the health of wealth gospel, you know, just pray for it and you'll receive it, you know, believe that you receive it. So the faith is going to like propel God to give it to you. But no, God is according to his will, and that is very important. And God knows what's good for us and what's not good for us, and the timing too. And when you stand praying, this is interesting, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anybody, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So when you're praying, in our prayers, we need to forgive people who are annoying us or who are persecuting us. Because in verse 26 it says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So, this is conditional here, in terms of God will not answer that your prayers for forgiveness of sins if you're not forgiving others. So we need to understand that principle too. So if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So we need to forgive others in our prayers who are sinning against us, but also ask God to intervene. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Howbeit do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men? He's talking to the Pharisees. For laying aside the commandments of men, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things that you do. Full well, you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and whoever curses his father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever you might be profited by me, he shall be free. So in other words, he was saying the Pharisees had their own tradition that instead of supporting their mother and father, if they used that money to give to the temple, they didn't have to support their mother and father anymore. And so that God was telling them that was wrong, you know what? I'm supposed to read Matthew 7. This is Mark 7. Sorry. Oh boy! I say, what does this have to do with my message? I don't know. It was a nice reading anyway. Matthew 7 to verse 7. I'm sorry. Matthew, there we go. Back on track now. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that also it asks, receives. Again, according to God's will. And he that seeks, finds. If you're close with God, and you're communicating with God, and you have a close relationship with God, and you ask God, and it's a right fix, he's gonna make it happen. And sometimes, we don't even realize when God answers our prayers, really, sometimes. But things happen, and you're wondering, well, how'd that happen? And things are better. But it's God involved. Oh, what man is there of you when if his son asks bread, and you give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, and you give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. So he's saying, look, I'm your heavenly Father, and I'm not going to, give you a serpent if you ask for a fish. I'm not going to, I love you, and I'm going to do good things for you. But the important point is you need to ask. You need to ask. You know, so you say, I don't need to pray. God knows what I need. No, that's not going to work. God knows what you need, but he wants a relationship with you. He wants you to talk to him. And if we go to Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. This is Paul talking to the church of the Colossians. He does not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And in verse 4 it says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. So he's telling them that, he's heard about their good works and their love. He's saying that he's praying for them that they will be continue to grow and be filled with the knowledge of his will. The point here is that we need to pray for others. We need to pray for others. When we see others that are growing in the faith, we need to pray for them and thank God and continue to help them. When we see those that might be falling away or those that might be having difficulties, we need to pray for them. And the point is that we pray for others and to show our love for others. If you go to James 5, what about when you're sick? Well, of course, when you're sick, you should always be praying to God to heal you. And sometimes God will let it go on, but he will not lay on you more than you can bear. And sometimes the answer is no, though, because remember, it's hard to understand, but the Bible tells us that, when we're sick and when we have trials, there's something to learn there. The suffering's good. The suffering gives us patience. The suffering brings us closer to God. And we don't see it at the time, and we don't understand it. But the Bible tells us that, look how Christ suffered, right? He suffered in many, many ways, and because of his suffering, great things came to us and forgiveness. So we want to pray for the sick, others also who are sick. We want to pray for them. And again, pray until something happens. And we want also pray for ourselves. We go to James 5 and verse 13. Jesus, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So here's a principle. If you're sick, and it doesn't mean that you have to do this, but you know, if you do it in faith, you let the elder know, Mr. Madhu, Mr. Lodosdale, Lewis, they will anoint you with oil, come over and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. This is showing faith. Doesn't mean that if you don't do that, you don't have faith. But this is a principle here in the Bible. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's very important. You're righteous. Your prayers matter. Your prayers God heals. God hears, and God will act on according to his will. So it might be a good idea when you're sick or to tell somebody close to you or other people in the church or have a prayer announcement and confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Confess your faults. You know, you don't want to really do that to, you want to get somebody up here and telling all your faults, but people that you could rely on to be trustworthy and not gossipers to help to pray for something that might be very personal. But you know, sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes when we pray, the answer is no. And if you go to 2 Corinthians 12, I'm sure you're all familiar with this, 2 Corinthians 12, Paul had some kind of affliction. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. He was exalted by God, and he had some kind of vision or out-of-body experience where he went to heaven or had a vision of heaven. And it says, in order to keep him humble, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, so there were many revelations were given to him, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Remember how Satan afflicted Job with all these boils? Well, apparently God let Satan afflict Paul with some kind of what Paul called a thorn in the flesh. For this thing I besought the Lord three times. So he prayed three different times to the Lord that it might depart from me. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So in other words, sometimes God will say, no, I'm not going to heal you. My grace is sufficient for you. In other words, the fact that I've called you and you're been justified and sanctified, that's sufficient. And God's strength is made perfect in weakness. So if you're handicapped or if you're have some affliction, God can choose not to heal you for his glory, really, because when you see the weak of the world praising God, that gives God glory. And so we should just be his grace, that we are his, and that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what condition we're in, no matter how long we live, we're going to be in the kingdom of God, and that's the reality. We're going to live forever. We suffer here, we grow, we come close to God, and then everybody's going to die, and then there's the resurrection. So we have that hope. We have that growth. So he's told Paul, I'm not going to heal you. So I don't know if he said, don't ask me again. No, but, maybe the principle is, keep asking though, right? So maybe Paul kept it. Well, God, once God tells you, no, I'm not going to do it, so then you don't have to keep asking for it. So sometimes the answer is no. Now, besides, we need to also pray for the ministry. If you turn to 2 Thessalonians 3, These are different things we're talking about that, you know, we should include in our prayers. One is the ministry, you know. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. So Paul is saying, pray for us, the ministries, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So, again, praying for the ministry. We also need to be praying for those in authority. Yes, the President of the United States, no matter who it is, because we're not, you know, don't think about the man, Biden, Trump. It's the office of the presidency. And so we want to be praying for whoever has that office for that 4 years to be blessed and to be doing, and for God to be leading them. If you go to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. Exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we should be praying for those who have authority over us, our political leaders, and whoever it may be, your boss. Pray for your boss. You know, he does well, and it trickles down. And, you want things to go well at work and the company to do well. So pray for those in authority that have authority over us. And pray for all the blessings that God has given you. You know, when you're discouraged and whatever, count your blessings, like the song says. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And if you go to 1 Thessalonians 5, there should be thanksgiving in your prayers for the blessings God has given you. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh God, thank you for this virus. Thank you, I lost my job. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ. So let's look at this scripture in a positive way. We want to thank God for all the wonderful blessings. And even for when we're, we have problems, we pray to God. And he can, as they say, turn lemons into lemonade, right? How many times has God turned lemons into lemonade in your life? And in other words, it looked so bad and things got so much better. But always give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. Now, and a couple more things. Matthew 5 and verse 44. Matthew 5. So we got to pray for others, but you need to also be praying for your enemies. Yep. Pray for your enemies. Matthew 5 verse 44. Jesus says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you." That's not easy to do. But through God's Spirit. "Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Well, pray for them. That's the key. Pray for them. Doesn't mean you have to hang out with them. Doesn't mean you have to be with them all the time and be abused all the time. But you pray for them, whether it's your boss at work, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a child, whether it's a neighbor. We love everyone. We don't wish any harm on anybody. We don't condemn people. We condemn the sin, but has Christ loved everyone? We are to love everyone, and it's a choice. It's a choice. So that enemy, if you have an enemy, you need to love them in terms of praying for them. God will change their heart, God will help them to repent. And so this is hard, but you know, with God, nothing is hard. He wouldn't tell us to do this if we couldn't do it, right? If we didn't, we have Christ in us. We could do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And the last scripture, Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Again, supplication is a petition. Something really, really troubling going on in your life. You want to focus on that with God and maybe spend a lot of time with God on that and giving him that petition. It's called a supplication. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So when we communicate with God and we're pouring out our hearts to God and we're thankful to God, he gives us that peace. So no matter what we're going through, we will be able to get through it, and we will not be pulling our hair out, or we will not be in such despair that we cannot function. But we will have that calmness, that peace of God, that will help us in whatever we're going through. So in summary, what should we include in our prayers? Well, we should certainly praise for God. Praise for God should be in your prayers. And acknowledging his greatness and holiness. And it doesn't have to be, you know, it could just be a couple sentences, that's all. Praising God, how great he is, and thanks for his holiness, and then you should have thanksgiving in your prayers. Thanks God for all your blessings. Now you don't have to name every single blessing that God ever gave you, but if you have some that come to mind that are recent, or you know, you should be bringing them to God and saying thank you for this, thank you for that, and it could be little things too. You know, when you pray without ceasing, and you get this wonderful parking spot, you thank God. You know, thank God, thank you, God, for this parking spot. You know, today when I came here, there's hardly any traffic. Wow, thank you, God. You know, I was like, I got here in 20 minutes. This is wonderful. You know, if you're sick and you're feeling better, oh, thank you, God, you know, whatever it is. So be thankful for all of God's blessings. In your prayers, you should ask God for forgiveness. If you've committed any sins, ask God for forgiveness and a repentant spirit. Remember to forgive those who have sinned against you and love them by praying that God will lead them to repentance and even turn their heart towards you. God could cause someone who doesn't like you, he could turn their heart towards you. And then all of a sudden that person has respect for you and might even have a relationship in the future. Pray for those in need. Have a prayer list. My prayer list is in my head, but pray for those in need. There are a lot of people in need. I mean, in this congregation, I mean, you could pray for maybe there might be 3/4 of the congregation that are in need, or even more. So many people are constantly sick or disabled, or things happening to them, and you know, it just never ends, it seems. So. And it goes on and on and on, you know. So we need to be praying for them. Remember, push. Pray until something happens. You have a prayer request that comes in through the internet or from the lectern here, podium. You know, write it down or remember to pray for that person. And, you know, and continue to pray until you hear something happens. Either that's good, hopefully. Praying for those in need, and there's so many people in need, you know, sick, there's a flu going around now, a lot of people are sick, the job, what's ever going on in the job, people in need of prayer. Don't forget to pray for your needs, you know, and ask for God for his continued blessings and protection for you and your loved ones. So in my prayers, I'm always, and it might seem repetitive, and it is in a way, but it changes here and there, you know. But pretty much, if you're continuing to pray until something happens, and you're praying for your loved ones, you're going to have certain a lot of your prayer is going to be the same thing every day. You know, most of it will be the same thing. But, you know, it's how you're talking with God, how, you know, about it and so forth. You're not repeating something over and over again in some kind of ritual. But, you know, you don't want to leave out people in your family. You know, my daughter, my son, my children, my grandchildren, my wife. Every day. And the extended family. You know, my nephews, whoever's in your family, uncles, people of the extended family, in-laws, whoever it might be. So you need to be praying for your loved ones every day, really, every day. And you need to be asking for God's guidance and blessings on your future plans. You know, are you planning something in the future? Maybe it's the Feast of Tabernacles and you want to go overseas, or you're planning this, planning that, or you have a desire for this or that. Ask for God's guidance and blessings. Is it the right thing to do? You know, if you're making some big plan, maybe I think I want to move to another state, or, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that. You know, ask for God's guidance and blessings. And, you know, when you're praying for something and it's not God's will, you'll know it, because the doors aren't going to open. Things aren't going to happen. You know, you're praying for something, it's not God's will, and it's just not going to happen, because everything's going to go wrong. And if you do keep going against God's will, then you're going to suffer the consequence. You're going to do it anyway, and you get it done, but then it's going to fail. So we have to ask for God's guidance and blessings. And we have to ask God to use you in preaching the gospel and serving others. Remember, we all have the Holy Spirit, and we have the knowledge of the Bible, and we are teachers, and we need to be preaching the gospel and serving others through love. And ask God to give you that ability to articulate His word, to be confident in His word, to have faith in His word, so that you could be used by Him. And asking all, and of course, in your prayers, you ask all in the name of Jesus Christ, according to God's will. Because the reason you can pray at all is because of Jesus Christ. You have Jesus Christ in you. He's the intermediary. He's the line to the Father. Without Jesus Christ in you, you know, you can't get to the Father, only through Jesus Christ. So this is the way you get to the Father, through Christ. And so we ask all in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, we're praying to the Father, not necessarily to Jesus Christ. But I guess, I don't know, I guess it's not wrong to pray to Jesus, but should we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ? Now, I didn't spend much time on God speaking to us, but just a little bit of that. Basically, how does God speak to us? Well, He speaks to us through His Word. So as we read His Word and we understand His Word, we'll be able to, when something happens or we need some guidance, as we grow spiritually, you know, verses will come to our head. Or as we study the Bible, we'll see God dealing with something that's on your mind. And so God communicates through His Word and through His Holy Spirit. Remember, His Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus Christ lives in you. And so the Holy Spirit is empowering you. It's giving you the ability to develop the mind and character of Jesus Christ. So how does God speak through the Spirit? Well, through the Word of God. And many times, and through prayer. You know, when you get answered prayers, obviously that's God speaking with you. You know, what you asked, He gave you. And, you know, sometimes it's just something that God will put in your mind, in your conscience, when you have to make a decision about something. And so we want to be able to listen to God in terms of his Word and His Spirit to guide and direct us in our daily life. So it's a wonderful thing to be able to communicate with our Lord and Savior and our God, Heavenly Father.